This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
We're going to keep moving on tonight, if you will, in our third portion of the Family Matters series, our family series that we've been preaching on Sunday evenings. Amen. And I kind of threw a little monkey wrench on the evening service. We're going to try something new with having the choir sing a song. And we're going to learn some new songs, amen. So I understand it's going to be a little stiff out of the chute, but however, amen, when you learn something new, all you do is practice, and practice makes better. Praise God, amen. Well, let's all open our Bibles up to the book of Ephesians tonight, the book of Ephesians. When you get there, let's all stand. We honor the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. Now we're going to read the ladies' favorite verses tonight. Amen? All right. Ephesians in chapter 5. Let's all stand. And we're looking at verse 22. And the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for the wonderful time and opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord. We thank you for the souls here this evening. We pray, dear God, as we move steadfastly in this family series, that you would bless it, dear God. We pray that you would anoint it, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. I pray, dear God, that whatever is done tonight will be done to your glory and said to give you praise this evening, dear Lord. But Father, help us take the living Word of God. Help us apply it in our homes this evening, Father. They may be an entity, Lord God, glorifying to the precious name of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we ask all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated, if you will. Now, as we heard last week, we heard about the man. Now, this is our third part. We had an introduction the first week in the Family Matters. Last week, we heard about the man per divine design being the head of the wife, the head of the home, if you will. And this is all Scripture. Don't throw a rock or a shoe at me, amen. but when I teach and preach on the man being the head of the home, a lot of men want to stick that chest out, and they kind of start feeling pretty good about themselves, amen. And I want you to remember this, to whom more is given, more is required, amen. And it's a position of responsibility. And men, if you're going to be head of the wife and head of that home, that means that you must lead your home in the manner as Christ led the church. Christ Jesus led the church sacrificially, amen. Your position in the home is that of sacrifice. The man's role, his duty, his obligation, as we talked about last week, he is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the home. He is the provider of the home. He is the protector of the home. He is a promise keeper in the home, not talking about the organization. And he is a participant, amen. Man, you must participate with your wife. Your wife needs to know that you love her, amen. And the only way you show that you love your wife is by telling her and showing her. Now, that's the only way she's going to know. You can tell her I love you all day long, but if you don't show that, amen, sacrificially, she's not going to believe you. You need to be a promise keeper, both as a husband and as a father, amen. There's so many children out there today that have broken promises by their dad. They just don't trust them. And what that translates into is them not trusting adults. There's so many times that we try to witness, lead people into the Lord Jesus Christ. They grew up in a home where the father did not keep their promises. And when me as a man try to witness to them as of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, they simply they don't believe it, because they're not going to believe a man, because their daddy, who's the picture of Christ in the home, never kept his. Man, you're to be a protector. Guys, you ought to be a protector, not both physically. You ought to protect your home. But, you know, in order for that devil to come through there, he's got to bind a strong man first. Amen. Now, you need to be a protector of your home physically. You ought to protect your wife emotionally and your children emotionally. You ought to protect them spiritually. Praise God. Amen. And there's some things that you don't need to bring into your house in order to protect your home. Praise God. Men, you are the provider of the home. Now, that doesn't mean I went on it last week, and I don't want to, we need all the time that we can have this evening. But you ought to provide for your home. The Bible says that he that provideth not for his own is worse than an infidel. And lastly, guys, but definitely not least, it's the first and foremost position. Men, you are the picture of Jesus Christ in your home. The way your family looks at you is the way they're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the divine design that God himself ordained in the Garden of Eden. You can't get away from that. You're not going to get away from it. And so we need to understand that, men, we have a huge responsibility in our home. But tonight we're talking not about the head. We're going to mention, we're going to speak about tonight the other part or position of the family in the family matters, and that is the picture of the wife, amen, the position of the wife. Her position is one of submission, as we just read in Ephesians chapter 5. Remember the introduction point? We have three roles. A threefold cord is not easily broken. You have the position of sacrifice in the home. That's the position of the husband. You got the position of submission in the home. That's the position of the wife. You got the position of the Savior or salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have the third one to make it a threefold cord. Somebody say amen to that. So look in Genesis chapter 2 tonight. We are going to be using our Bibles. I'm sorry to cause the inconvenience, amen, but we'll be using our Bibles tonight quite a bit. Genesis chapter 2, if you can get there quickly, say amen, and then we'll move forward tonight. A lot of this is going to be familiar for many of us. Some it will not be familiar, amen. And I'll apologize for my voice. My voice is, it's a bit weak tonight. I didn't get a whole lot of water in me today like I normally do. And you got to have water to lubricate those vocal cords, amen. So anyways, the man is the head of the home. He's the head in the marriage there. The wife, the position of the wife is found in Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to look down around verse 16, 17, 18, something like that. Let me see, where are we? Genesis 2. Amen. We'll get in there somewhere. All right. Where are we? All right. Verse 18. The Bible says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." You know the rest of the story. They caused Adam to sleep. A deep sleep fell upon Adam. Verse 21, it says, "It took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. The rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he woman, and brought her unto him." Now, as the man is the head, the woman is the helpmeet. Now, let me say this to you, men. You're only half a person if you don't have your wife, because your wife completes you. Amen. That's what makes the marital unit. Beloved, it's a great role that is played inside the home by the wife. The mother in the home is a great role. She is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Man, you are a picture of who? Jesus Christ. If you're a picture of you're a picture of the Father, but that translates in many different ways. But you're a picture of the Father. You're a picture of Christ in the home. The wife is a picture of the Holy Spirit inside the house. The wife or the mother, or that's the same entity, is the soul of the home. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "Let mothers labor to make home the happiest place in the world. If they are always nagging and grumbling, they will lose their hold on their children, and the boys will be tempted to spend their evenings away from home. Home is the best place for boys and men, and a good mother is the soul of the home. The smile of a mother's face has enticed many into the right path, and the fear of bringing a tear into her eye has called off many of men from evil ways. The boy may have a heart of iron, but his mother can hold him like a magnet. The devil never reckons a man to be lost so long as he has a good mother alive. Great is thy power, O woman." That is from the Prince of Preachers, the preacher in England, C.H. Spurgeon. Beloved, what a perfect picture that the woman has inside of the home. The woman, the wife, the mother, must be inside that house a thermostat, not a thermometer. And you all know what that means. If you're the Holy Spirit inside the house, you are going to control how cold and hot that home is. And I'm not talking about the air conditioner or the heater. You are to be a thermostat in the home. You are to control the temperature inside the house. You're not to react to the temperature inside the home. You need to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. But before we see what this woman is, what this ideal helpmeet is, let's look real quickly at what she is not, what she is not to be. The opposite of what is glorifying to the Lord. The opposite of being a thermostat, but more or less being a thermometer, allowing to the temperature inside the home to change them from being a godly degree. It's a woman that's called the ABC woman. Anybody here knows what an ABC woman is? You know, Denise, amen. ABC woman. First of all, she's an ABC woman because she's angry. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19 says, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." The wisest man on the earth said it's better to be out in the middle of nowhere than it is to be inside the house with an angry woman. Amen. She's an angry woman. Amen. Secondly, she's a brawling woman. Proverbs 25, verse 24 says it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Amen. Now that corner he's referring to is not the corner like this, but it's the corner of the roof. He's saying it is better to be up in top of the house, standing way up, than it is with a brawling woman in a wide house. Amen. I'd say he's wise, praise God. That's an angry brawling, and the ABC woman is a contentious woman. Proverbs 27, verse 15 says, "A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." Beloved, this woman is emotionally, mentally, and spiritually torturous. She's like Chinese water torture. She breaks you down mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That's not the godly woman that is going to benefit the home. That is not the helpmeet that God ordained in the Garden of Eden. So we don't want to be the ABC woman. We don't want to be the angry, brawling, contentious woman. Somebody say amen to that. Now, the picture that we find inside the Word of God that fits the role that is both God-pleasing, God-praising, and God-practicing is the woman that is found also in the book of Proverbs, and that's called the Proverbs 31 woman. And many of you ladies here will remember my wife's acrostic of woman from her ladies' devotion a couple months back. Actually, I'm going to use that tonight. Amen. I got a little additions that I'm going to add in there, but I just thought that was so great. She called me when I was up at Brother Jay's in Carthage. I was at Brother Ron's, but I was at Brother Jay's mom and dad's house. And she said, "Hey, this is what I'm thinking about teaching tomorrow. What do you think?" And I said, "I think I'm going to use it to teach one day." Amen. That's pretty good stuff. But we got several more that we're going to add to it. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs in chapter 31. Now, we are, again, like I said, going to jump around inside the Word of God. We got to use the Word of God. If we don't use the Word of God, you're not going to get much out of tonight. Amen. My opinion, and $2 won't get you a happy meal, but you need to understand what the Word of God says. Proverbs in chapter 31. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Proverbs in chapter 31. And then we'll bounce around to the New Testament here in just a little while. Proverbs 31, verse 1 says, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Beloved, her price, that's not her cost. Amen. Her price is far above rubies. She's a jewel. She's a rare quality in the world that benefits all that she is around. Amen. You ever seen a ruby? How beautiful it is. It glistens and shines. And it's just a beautiful jewel. And that's what he has likened this unto. Now, I don't want to get too far off, but you'll remember, inside the Word of God, souls are always likened unto fine jewels. You know that as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged according to what we have built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that is either going to be gold, the deity of Christ, silver, the price of His redemption, and the fine jewels. Amen. What jewels we have laid at the feet of Jesus, built upon His foundation. So people, souls are always likened unto jewels or fine stones, okay? And so we find here that this Proverbs 31 woman, that her price, her worth, guys, is far above rubies. So we're going to look at this woman real quick. And in spelling out the word woman, as Denise did in the lesson, let's look at this real quick. The Proverbs 31 woman, first and foremost, we find she is a worker, but she's a worker who is willing to work. Verse 13 says, it says, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." She's not a nagging, a grumbling, a woman. She's not upset and bent out of shape about caring and cooking and cleaning for her family. She is a willing, working woman inside the home. She has a willing heart that enables her to enjoy the duties of taking care and tending to her home. Guys, this blessed woman is a woman that provides the needed things for her family. And she does. She's not going to be taken over by the struggles of that responsibility. Amen. When I talk about the woman being a position of submission inside the home, ladies, let me tell you this. Men, we have it fairly easy because we have to submit to a perfect God. And women, you got to submit to an imperfect, fallible, flawed man. So you have it hard. But when you look at the person, the position of submission, when you submit, all you're doing is getting out of the way and letting God deal with that man. So if that man is out of line and he's doing things he ought not do, acting ways he ought not act, lazy, whatever it may be, just, okay, fine, submit as unto the Lord. God will deal with him. Amen? Now, if you get in the way and you usurp that authority, God's going to deal with you. He's still going to deal with the man, but now he's going to have to deal with you as well. You just do what God told you to do, and then God will deal with him. Amen? And trust me, guys, or ladies, he would much rather deal with you any day. Amen? He would much rather deal with an angry, brawling, contentious woman than ever deal with an angry God. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So that W, she is a worker. Look in verses 16 through 19. Bible says she considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. You know what that means? She's not watching prime time from 7 to 10 every single night of the week. Amen. She's laboring inside the house. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the staff. Verse 22 tells me there, it says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 24 says, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. We'll get into that just a little later on. But you know what? She's a worker, a willing worker. And this is what happens. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her labor, her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Guys, I'm telling you right now, this woman, who is Proverbs 31 woman, she will be praised in the gate. She's a willing worker who's not afraid to provide inside the home for her family. Remember, men, it's your responsibility to provide for the home, and that lady will take care of what you provide inside the home. Let's look at the letter O in the Proverbs 31 woman. Letter O is that she is obligated, just as many Christians owe service to the Lord, guys, and we owe our services to God. But ladies, I want you to remember, as we're addressing you tonight, you owe yourselves to God. Whether it's at home or at church, you have an obligation or a duty to serve and work for God. Verse 14 and 15 says in the same chapter, she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and give meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Guys, obligation is a duty. It's a responsibility. She has a responsibility to care for her family and to care to her walk with the Lord. So this Proverbs 31 woman, she looketh to the ways of her house. She tends to her family, but she also makes sure that her life is glorifying to God. You know, guys, if your life is glorifying to God, you don't really have to worry about anything else. If you do what God told you to do inside the home and outside the home and in the house of God, you don't have to worry about anything else. Amen. If you're pleasing to God, many a times you'll find that even your enemies will be at peace with you. Amen and amen. Letter M, we find that the Proverbs 31 woman is meek. Beloved, she's not easily provoked. She's not easily irritated. She's humble. She has humility inside of her life. She is submissive to the will of God. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Let me ask you this question here this afternoon. How many of us can say that when we open our mouth, we have the law of kindness proceeding out of our mouth? I mean, there's probably too many people here tonight, or just in our life in general, instead of hoof and mouth disease, they suffer from the foot in mouth disease. Amen? Amen? I like that little illustration there. I got that one in the parking lot last week. But guys, we need to practice thinking before speaking. Amen. When I played ball, I had a tendency at times to overrun the hole, overrun the gap. And my coach would tell me, he said, say your name before you decide to move. And I thought it was the silliest thing in the world. Because my mind would say go, and my body would get me there, but I would beat the running back there, and he would have an opportunity to cut back on me. So I was leaving him a little bit too much room to gain a yard or two. So I started doing that. So I'm in my position, I'm reading him, there he takes off, I'd say, BJ Stagner. Then I'd go, and I'd buckle him right there at the scrimmage line or 2 yards behind. And I thought it was silly, I thought it was juvenile, but guys, it worked. And we need to do those things in our life. Before we say something, we need to think about it. Amen. Ladies, just think about it. And I say this even at your house. Remember, you need to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. So think about what you're going to say. Think about your rebuttal. Think about your words back. Are they going to be a win-win situation, or is it going to ignite something in the house that's going to take weeks or months or years to recover from, or maybe never, you see? This Proverbs 31 woman, she is meek. She's careful with her words. Men, Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Meekness does not equate to weakness, amen. Meekness is a strong character, it's a strong strength in a person's life if you can be meek in the life that the Lord has given you. Beloved, let me share this with the letter M. We're going to go through several M's here as I add to this acrostic. But this Proverbs 31 woman, she is a picture of magnifying. She's a picture that is magnifying to the Lord. The Bible says there again in Proverbs 31 in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. She is magnifying to God. She is a woman, guys, a Proverbs 31 woman. She is a picture of mercy. Turn back to Proverbs in chapter 10. Proverbs in chapter 10. She's a picture of mercy as we look at this woman's position inside the home. She is a picture of mercy. Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 18. The Bible says, he that hideth hatred with his lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool, guys. Listen, what we need to understand is that as we look at mercy, we need to get a hold of our life and understand that when we have hatred in our life, the Bible says that we're a fool. And ladies, I know this is a general statement. It's applied in all of our lives. But I believe if you'll get a hold of that tonight, you'll see what the Lord would have you to live in your life. You know, we understand that before something comes out of our mouth, we need to ask ourselves, will it build or will it break? Ladies, when you say things or do things, we need to decide whether or not it's going to build someone up or is it going to break them down. This Proverbs 31 woman is a picture of moderation. She has her life under control. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Guys, when walls are broken down inside of a city, what happens? It has no defense system. It has no protection. Anything and everything can come inside. If a person who has no control over their spirit, control over their actions, control over their attitude and their temperament, guys, they are a position, if you will. They are just like a city that's broken down and without walls. Amen. Next, I want you to see that this woman, this Proverbs 31 woman, she is a picture of modeling. And I'm not talking about in front of a camera. Amen. How do you want your girls to be modeled, ladies? How do you want your girls to grow up? What do you want them to see? How do you want them to grow up? Do you want them to model themselves after the people on the TV and Hollywood and these rock stars and the models, these anorexic models on the magazines? Is that what you want them to develop their life after? Or do you want them to develop their life after a Proverbs 31 woman? I mean, you got to think about those things because, Mom, they're looking at you now, ladies. Your friends are looking at you. Your community is looking at you. Your husband is even known by the way his wife lives her life and carries herself. You know what? The Bible tells me, ladies, that you should be generous in your life. Look at verse 20 in Proverbs 31. The Bible says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So she has a generous quality as she's modeling those that are around her. Turn over to Proverbs in chapter 11. Proverbs in chapter 11. Not only is she generous, but we find that she's gracious. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 16, the Bible says, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. A gracious woman retaineth honor. Amen. So she's a generous woman in modeling. She's gracious in her modeling. Back in Proverbs 31, we find that she's a kind woman. In verse 26, the Bible says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue, again, is the law of kindness. Now, guys, I want to tell you something about that. There is a benefit to having the law of kindness when you open your mouth. We've all met people that when we meet them, man, they're just nice people. You just enjoy having them around, and they have a kind quality about them. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Hold your place there in Proverbs, if you will. So we see in her development of modeling, this Proverbs 31 woman is generous, she's gracious, she's kind. But guys, you know what, ladies? I keep saying guys, I don't mean that out of any disrespect. But ladies, she's quiet. She's quiet. Some of you ladies are saying, well, where is this going to go? 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 1, the Bible says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, now pay attention here, that if any, your husbands, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now you got to wait, of the wives. So you got to stop here and think, wait a second, is this contradicting itself? It says right there, be in subjection. But then it says there's a conversation of the wise. Verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Look down to verse 4. But let the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. What does that mean? Think about it for just a second. Then we got the word conversation showing up twice. And then the fourth verse, it says that it's quiet. There's a quiet spirit, right? So what does that mean? What does conversation mean? It means conduct. It means your life. Ladies, this is where the hardest part inside the marriage falls. Because what happens in your life, sooner or later, there's a husband that is involved that's unwilling to do the things that God wants him to do. So are you going to go home and say, well, you know what, I'm going to wear him out. I'm going to nag him to death until he comes to church. I'm going to nag him to death until he does right. I'm going to nag him to death until he becomes the husband that pastor said he should be. No, that's not what you're going to do. You know what you're going to do? You're going to make him hate church. You're going to make him hate God. You're going to make him hate me. Amen. You live the life that God has told you to live. Obey him. Follow him. Trust in him. Because by your conversation, by your conduct, with no words, not even the Bible, wow, that husband can be won. I have heard testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of husbands late in life getting saved because their wife got right with God. And they started attending church and started getting involved and started serving God and didn't come home and browbeat, just came home and they saw the joy of the Lord upon her and continued to live. When I went down to Morelia the first time, went down and preached his brother Gomez's first anniversary meeting down there, there was a woman. The last night there, she'd been dabbling in a Mormon's religion and a Catholic religion and a couple other things. And Brother Manuel tried to work with her, and she just was so confused. And she came that night, and I don't even know what I preached, but God moved in, and the Holy Spirit of God took a hold of her. She got born again of the blood of Christ, got saved, and her oldest daughter got saved. I thought, what a blessing, amen. She had two younger daughters that was there as well. And here's what happened. I go back 2 years later. 2 years later. Brother Manny said, you remember that lady got saved the last night you were here 2 years ago? I said, yeah. He said, that's her right there. And by the way, her eldest daughter that got saved that night, she got married and she's off serving the Lord somewhere else. But you see those two young girls out there carrying them water pots? I said, yeah. He said, that's her two younger daughters. They got saved a few weeks after you left. And they've been in the church every single church service ever since that night. And they're here at the church every single day serving and working, cooking food, cleaning, building, washing clothes, doing all of these different things. I said, where's the husband? Well, every time she goes home, he verbally abuses her. He physically abuses her, mocks out God, mocks out Christ, kicks things on her, does things to try to keep her from coming to church, and she keeps going, and she goes home, and she's the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. It was the year that I scheduled myself out on accident. They moved Easter somewhere, and I ended up being in Mexico on Easter Sunday. And the Sunday night services down there are the big nights. And so we preached that morning. And that lady was there, and God gave me a message while I was sitting there. I was listening to a Mexican guy preach, and my Spanish is not that good, but I can usually pick up where in the Bible they are. But I was one chapter off. At least so I thought. And I had another sermon to preach that morning. And God pierced my heart by what I was reading in my English Bible, and he was preaching something in the Spanish Bible. And he gave me a message to preach. And I got up that morning and I preached it right after that. And that woman was there and it lit her heart on fire. She went home and she started telling her husband about what this American that came down and preached this message. And boy, that caught his eye, caught his heart, caught his ear. Guess what happened? He came to church that night. And I preached again. And I mean, the Spirit of God moved in. And that old boy got saved and born again. 2 years of verbally and physically abusing his wife and mocking out his kids and mocking out God, mocking out the church and trying to do everything in the world to keep her from going and laboring and working the church. 2 years of it, 24 months of that stuff. And he comes and he breaks down at an altar and he gets saved and he gets born again. You know why? It wasn't because of the American preacher, I guarantee you that. It was because of an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit who lived her life for God and continued to serve Him despite what he did. Continued to serve God. Don't go over there tonight. Continue to serve God. Hey, you need to stay here. Continue to serve God. Went home and spoke of the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God of what change has happened in her life. And you talk about household salvation. Sometimes it's not in just one night. Sometimes it takes 24 months. But that entire house is saved, born again, and serving God to the fullest. And I lay the credit at the feet of a lady who endured abuse, endured the affliction, because she got a hold of something great. And guess what? Now her whole family has it. Somebody say amen to that. That's the position of modeling, generous, gracious, kind, and quiet. Look in Titus chapter 2 with me tonight. Titus in chapter 2, you were over there a few books back. Titus in chapter 2. Titus in chapter 2, not only do we find that under the letter M that she is a position of modeling, but guys, ladies, you are a position of molding. You are a position of molding. The Bible says in Titus in chapter 2, it would probably help if I got there. Titus in chapter 2, and we're going to look in verse 3. Titus chapter 2 verse 3 says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Watch this. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Did you notice that? Guys, did you know that the life that you lead is usually going to be the life that your daughters lead? Hey, women of the church, did you know that your position in this church, you are a testimony? You are a testimony not only of New Testament Baptists, but more importantly, you are a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the way you conduct your life is the way those younger women coming up in the faith, babes in Christ, new converts, it's the way they're going to conduct their life. You see, that's a lot of responsibility. You're right, it is. But, you know, that's just part of it, amen. Look back in the book of Proverbs. Here's what we find as well. It's Proverbs 31 woman. She's a position of modeling. She's a position of molding. But she's a position of meeting. And this gets back to our subtitle tonight, that she is a help meet. God looked down and said, hey, it's not good that man should be alone. Let us make him a help meet, that someone would be with him. Verse 11 says, in Proverbs 31, it says, the heart of her husband, watch this, doth safely trust in her. so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know what that means, guys? That means she's doing her job as a helpmeet. Her husband trusts her. A husband has faith that she's going to take care of the things that she needs to take care of in the home. And his heart is there with her. It's a position. She's fulfilling her job as a helpmeet, guys. Verse 22, we find that she is a picture of modesty. Verse 22 says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Hold your place there in Proverbs 31. And let's turn over to 1 Timothy again. You're going to hold your finger there once we leave. Not leave the church, but leave the book. We'll go back to Proverbs 31 and come back to 1 Timothy. She is a position of modesty. Amen. The Bible says she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair of gold or pearls or costly array. You know, ladies, you ought to have modest apparel, the Bible says. This Proverbs 31 woman, this godly woman that is molding children, molding converts, modeling their home, lives a life of mercy and moderation and magnifying God. This woman that is meek is a woman who is modest as well. She's also a woman of morality. Verse 31, back in Proverbs 31, we'll come back to 1 Timothy 2. She is a picture of morality. Give her the fruit of her hands, watch this, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You can go around and say that you're godly. You can say that you're spirit-filled. And you can say that you're holy. And you can say all of these things. But until you profess them and prove them through good works, the words mean nothing at all. You are a picture, ladies. A picture of morality. A picture of modesty. A picture of meeting. A picture of molding, modeling, moderation. You're a picture of mercy. A picture that's magnifying to God. And you are a picture that should be meek. Beloved, we find that this woman, back in Proverbs 31, she is a woman that is aware. Proverbs 31 and in verse 30, the Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let me tell you this, guys. She is a woman that is aware of the needs of her home. A woman that fears the Lord will have her husband's trust, will have her husband's confidence, beloved. The Bible says in verse 28 in the latter part, her husband also, and he will praise her. And he praiseth her, the Bible says. She's a woman that is aware. You know, I hear things all the time. The Bible says over here, it says that she looketh well after her house. I hear all the time of mothers and even and fathers as well. They just don't know what their children's doing. They don't know what their children need. They don't know what's going on inside the home. They don't know what the kids are doing when they're not there. And they don't even know what their kids are doing when they are there. But a Proverbs 31 woman, she's looking after that home. And she knows what the kids are doing and what the kids' needs are. And what's going on inside their house. Lastly, we find that she is a Proverbs 31 woman is a woman that is nurturing. In verse 15, the Bible says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. We already read that she is a generous woman in verse 20. That she looks after the poor and needy. We know that she's a woman that the law of kindness is in her tongue. So she's a nurturing woman. She looks after those that are inside of her house. And beloved, I'm here to tell you tonight that the picture of this mother carries in the home, the picture that she carries cannot be duplicated by the father. It is a set role given and granted by God and God alone. Now, I understand that some men have to do it alone. I understand that some women have to do it alone. I understand all that. But God had a divine design in the Garden of Eden. He had a divine design as one man, one woman, amen. And those would have kids. If the Lord wants them to have kids, amen. And it just wasn't meant for one woman or one man to raise those kids, amen. Men, you can't do a mother's role. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you that. I don't care how effeminate a man acts. You're not a mama, and you can't replace that. There's a connection, a bond that a child has with their mother, and the man cannot duplicate that. And the same thing, vice versa. The woman cannot be the man inside the house. God didn't design it that way. We got to understand that the woman has been given a position, that of a helpmeet. She completed Adam when she was created. As God said, it's just not good that man should be alone. So ladies, I want you to understand that your price is far above rubies. The need of a woman inside the home that will obey and follow God and follow Him to where the way God wants them to, it is far above rubies. The power that the woman has inside the house is above and beyond any power known to man. You are to be a thermostat inside the house. It's going to be as hot or cold as you would like it. Men, you heard last week that we need to dwell together with them according to knowledge. We know what makes them tick, and we know what makes them not tick, amen. We know what makes them mad and angry. We know what might turn them into that ABC woman, amen. But we also know what will keep them from doing that. I talked about men being a sacrifice. You ought to go home, and if you know that your wife needs and wants 15 minutes of your time, then you know what? You ought to give them 15 minutes of your time. I don't care how stressful your day was. You know why? Men, that's the burden you carry for being a man. You carry the load, and you sacrifice so that your wife can have the time that she needs when you come home. Ladies, that's a two-way street, I understand. And you are the role of submission. And you need to understand the burden that your husbands are bearing. But the reality is this, man, we got to sacrifice for our wives. We got to do what we need to do in order to take care of them. Ladies, you need to honor your position as a position that is inside the house of the Holy Spirit. Joseph Gabor grew up in Czechoslovakia. He grew up there when it was dominated by communism and religion was despised and considered a weakness. Joseph's father taught communistic doctrine classes. But Joseph's mother believed in Jesus Christ and stood strong for her kids. There was no church in their town, but they got up early each Sunday morning and took a 3-hour train ride into Prague. Joseph remembers that every Sunday morning, almost without fail, they got up and went to church. They walked to the church and sat through a 2.5-hour service. And after lunch in a nearby park, They returned to church for another 2.5-hour meeting. And they took the 3-hour ride home again. Every Sunday, she did that for her son. And today, Joseph Gabor is a missionary to his own people in Czechoslovakia. And when he tells the story of going to church as a child, his eyes fill with tears of gratitude for a mother who cared enough about his spiritual warfare to help him come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Old Spurgeon said, "Great is thy power, O woman." You have no idea how powerful your position is inside the home. Ladies, I'm telling you, it will be as hot or as cold as you determine inside that house. And you are the helpmeet. You are what completes the man to make the family. And without your position, something, if not all, will be lost. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you will, tonight. Every head bowed, every eyes closed this evening. A lot of verses in a short time. But I do believe it's important for us to get a hold of it, to understand exactly what the Lord would have the positions in the home to be. And it is a struggle, but to whom much is given, much is required. And you have a great and powerful position inside that home, ladies. Men, you have a great and powerful position, that of sacrifice. And to the responsibility given you, there is accountability. Heavenly Father, we commit now to you this time of invitation. We ask that your will be done in our life. We pray, dear God, as we are here this evening, we ask you to help us. We ask that you would guide us in every step of the way. We pray forgiveness of where we have failed you. We do pray tonight, Lord God, that we would find grace in thy sight. Lord, I pray that you touch the family's hearts this evening, that they may be solidified one with another. And dear God, they may even come, Lord God, and bow their hearts. Lord, they may further know you or closer draw to you. In Jesus' name we ask these things.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.faithfulwitness.org. newtestamentbaptistchurch@ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.